You may get tired of me reminding you about our theme for 2023 of being rooted in God. I know from my own experience through the years, we learn best by repetition. If I'm going to try and memorize a verse or a passage of Scripture, I have to go over it and over it again. Here a few weeks ago, I was with my daughter, Abby, and she is homeschooling her two oldest kids. And I was noticing as she was working with Kinsey this particular day on learning her states and state capitals. Do you know how she was teaching her? By repetition. Jefferson City is the capital of Missouri. Topeka is the capital of Kansas. And on, she had a list of about several states in the Midwestern area of our country that she was repeating over and over again. Now, what was the capital of Missouri? Jefferson City. She was learning by repetition. I was doing some reading about how the Jewish boys would learn in traditional Judaism. They would go to the synagogue school at the age of 6, and by the age of 10, hear me say this, by the age of 10, they would have the first 5 books of the Old Testament memorized. That's called the Torah: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Now, if you have your Bible in hand, you might for a moment just take a look at the amount of material those 5 books are right there. They learned by repetition. And that, I'm sure, was some serious repetition. And that would have been the educational system that Jesus grew up in. So a little bit of repetition for us is good. That's why I say to you so many weeks during this year that we are to be rooted in our Heavenly Father. We are to be rooted deep into God. And the Scripture, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Being rooted into God doesn't happen by us just floating along in our Christian walk. We have to choose to be rooted into Him. We have to put effort and energy into our Christian life. The more we put into our Christian life, the more we're going to get out of it. The more we invest into this way of living, the more return that will come back to us. And so my encouragement to you is to seek God's kingdom first in your life and seek His righteousness and God's promises that you will receive back so much more in return. It's the law of the harvest, which, as you've seen over the last several weeks, we've been seeing a lot of our farmers in their fields harvesting their crops. The law of the harvest is simply this: if you plant corn, then you're going to reap corn in return, and hopefully a whole lot more corn than what you've sown. You reap what you sow. That's the law of the harvest. In our Christian walk, if we sow seeds of righteousness and we seek to be rooted into Him, then He is able to pour His blessings back upon us more than what we deserve. Between now and the Christmas season, I will be challenging you to be rooted in God in some very specific ways. We've already talked about being rooted in God's love. For 7 weeks, we talked about what that means, to be rooted in God's love. Then last week, we took just 1 week, and we talked about being rooted in God's peace. Today, we're going to talk about being rooted in God's power. And if Peyton would put that schedule there behind me, you see the schedule of the preaching over the next several weeks. We are being challenged to be rooted in these different areas specifically. If we will pour ourselves into Him, He will pour Himself back into us 100-fold. And so let's talk for just a few moments today what it means to be rooted into God's power. His power is evidenced over and over again. First of all, in creation. I mean, all you have to do is just take a look around you and see the wonder of God through His creative hand. A few weeks ago, Cindy and I enjoyed a week's vacation with our three kids and their families on the shore of Lake Michigan. We were in the northern part of Wisconsin's peninsula. It was a beautiful setting, and the first morning we were there, I was up early on the shoreline wanting to see the sunrise. And I was intrigued at how fast the sun came up once I began to see the tip of the sun over the horizon. And there is the first glimpse of the sun that particular morning. That was at 6:32 a.m. I was snapping pictures more than what you want to see, I'm sure. But I want to show you a picture that took place at 6:33. There we go. Just a little difference. Just, in fact, quite a bit of difference. Just 1 minute. And then a picture at 6:34. We're almost there. You see the difference. And then a picture at 6:37. The whole sun has risen above the horizon in just 5 minutes. Every morning that happens in every part of the world, the sun is never late. It's always on time. And God put that in motion all the way back in the very beginning. And yes, I understand the sun is what's stable and set, and the earth is what rotates around it, but it took just 5 minutes for that sun to rise. His power is evident, and to think that it's all with the spoken word. He created this world with the spoken word. Just take a walk outside at night and look up at the stars of the sky. You can't count them. In fact, I have a scripture for you I'd like for you to be reading as I'm talking about that. So many stars in the sky, you can't count them. You got that, Peyton? Psalms 33, verse 9. There it is. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's how this world was created. And yet, though we can't count the stars, He has a name for every one of them, and He put them there by the word of His mouth. He spoke, and the oceans came into existence along with their boundary lines. Did you know that God put a boundary line on the ocean waters? Let me read to you from Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. You talk about a powerful God. Our God is so strong that even the oceans obey His voice. And why wouldn't they? They are His creation. And the video that we saw just a few moments ago, you go over into the Gospels, and Jesus walked on those waters that He created. And then He spoke to the raging sea, and He calmed the waters. He is the Almighty God, all-powerful, and nothing is impossible for Him. Even death is not too difficult for Him. Jesus died, and what happened 3 days later? He raised up from the dead. He conquered the grave. No one else has ever conquered the grave. I mean, oh yeah, there were people that the prophets raised up from the dead. There were people that that Jesus came along. He raised them up from the dead. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He raised Lazarus up from the dead. He raised the widow's son from Nain up from the dead. He stopped that funeral procession, and He touched the casket, and he raised that young man up to life again. Jairus' daughter, He raised her to life again. And yet every one of those people who had been raised from the dead, they had another day coming where they died. Jesus, though, is the only one to ever conquer the grave, never to die again. His power is greater than the power of death, and I want you to know that is the power that you and I can be rooted into if we will put our faith in Him. Now, please don't miss what I just said. I want you to grasp that truth. You and I can be rooted into His resurrection power if we look to Him in faith. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 from the New Living Translation. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Do you see where that power can be? It can be in us. It is for us who believe Him. His resurrection power is available for each and every one of us. That's hard for us to grasp, but it is the truth. First of all, His power is able to help us overcome temptation and sin. That's the first point in my sermon. Whatever the sin is, whatever the temptation is, He can give you the victory over it if you look to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, No temptation has overtaken you, but such that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will provide the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. You talk about a blessed promise. We don't have to sin because His power is in us. Now, I'm not saying that we can rise above sin and be a perfect person. Don't think that I'm saying that at all. I mean, we could if we relied completely upon Jesus every time. Therein is the problem. We don't always rely upon Him. And so thank God for His grace. But I want you to know that His power is available for every single one of us. His resurrection power is given to us that we can say no to temptation. We can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That's what James chapter 4, verse 7. We can say yes to victory over that addiction or over whatever temptation is coming our way. We can rise above that temptation. Now, here's the second point. His power is able to help us endure through hardship. And I talk about this a lot over the weeks past, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just want to mention to you that as we talk about the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, it is available to us to help us through hardship. That was a very emotional scene in that video between Peter and Jesus. Peter was crying. Do you remember what he was saying over and over again? Please don't let me go. Please don't let me go. Over and over, that's what he was saying. Don't let me go. And we can relate with Peter in that. Sometimes the burdens of life are so overwhelming, and we need to cry out to Jesus with Simon Peter and say, Lord Jesus, please don't let me go. And you know what? Jesus' words will be to us as they were to Peter. I'm here. I always will be here, Peter. I've got you. No hardship is too hard for him. No burden is too heavy for him. He knows what your burdens are personally, and his power is greater. The question is, will we entrust our burdens to him? Will we try to carry them alone? I hope not. I hope rather that we will entrust our problems to Jesus. I hope that we can give the load that is weighing us down to him, whatever that load might be. Lean into him, because his grace is sufficient. And so his mighty power helps us say no to temptation. His resurrection power helps us with the burdens that we're carrying and the hardships that we're going through. Let me give to you a third point. His power is able to help us witness. I'll remind you of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the words of Jesus to his disciples as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth." Now, keep in mind who Jesus said those words to. He said them to some very uneducated and very ordinary men whose credentials were not very impressive. And as I think about it, they were men kind of like you and me. People who are common folks and people who are just ordinary individuals. The fact that Jesus is willing to fill us with his Holy Spirit and with his power, and he's willing to help us be his messengers to a lost and dying world. We can have his resurrection power in us to help us witness to the world. I was reminded this last week of a story from my past as I preached a funeral service for a fellow from Fort Scott whose name was Bill Shepherd. Bill was 82 years old, and for the longest time, his wife, Jenny, and by the way, Jenny's here today, and I'm welcoming you, Jenny, today. Jenny came to church without him every Sunday for a long, long time. She was at everything. Anytime the church doors were open, she was there, but not Bill. And she would ask him every Sunday if he wanted to come to church with her. And she's relayed this story to me, so I know it's true. She asked him every Sunday, "Do you want to come to church with me?" And without hesitation, he would say no. He grew up one of nine children, and none of his family were ever churchgoers. And of course, I knew Jenny was coming to church without her husband, and so every once in a while, I would stop by her house and talk with her, and I would get a chance to talk with Bill too. And I was just trying to get a little connection with him. And we would sit in their front room and we would talk. Not much about church, not much about Jesus, but we would just talk. We would talk about, hunting or fishing. Those were things that he liked to do, and I liked to do those things. And he was a jack of all trades. He could fix anything. And I remember one time sitting in his front room and saying, "Bill, you know, I've got a lawnmower that's not running too good. And I've tried to fix it. I don't know what's wrong with it." And before I could get those words completed out of my mouth, Bill's saying, "Well, why don't you bring your lawnmower to me? I'll fix it. I'll take a look at it." And so I did. I was hoping that's what he would say. And I brought that lawnmower to him, and a few days later, he said, "Hey, come get your lawnmower." And I mean, that thing run like a top after that. That's the kind of fix-it guy he was. And so we were building a little bit of a connection with one another. And Jenny kept asking him to go to church. No. And before I would leave his house, I would say, "Hey, Bill, we'd sure love to have you at church." "Oh, yeah, okay, I know," that kind of thing. I plant a little seed, try to help the connection just a little bit more. And I'd sometimes talk to him, "You know, everybody needs Jesus, Bill. You need Jesus." "Yeah, yeah." Then one Sunday, as Jenny said, "Do you want to come to church with me?" Lo and behold, he said, "Yes." And he came that Sunday, and we were all ecstatic, and we were all shocked, and we were all glad. And Bill started coming to church every week after that. He even started hitting the senior luncheon that happened once a month there at the church. And time went by, and we had a revival at the church, and I mentioned to Jenny that I'd like to come by and talk with Bill about Jesus. And she about had a coronary. There ain't no way that conversation's going anywhere. And she thought I was out of my mind. And I said, "No, I really want to come by and talk with Bill about Jesus." And I felt like God had put that on my heart. It was time to have that conversation with him. And I called Bill on the telephone and I asked him, "Can I come by and talk with you about Jesus?" You know what he said? "Well, yeah, sure." And I told Jenny, and Jenny was shocked. She told me she that week called Bill's sister, "You're not going to believe this. The preachers asked your brother if he can come by and talk with him about Jesus, and your brother said yes." And Jenny told me, his sister said, "You got to be kidding me." And yet I went by and we had that conversation together about Jesus. And it wasn't long. It was not long after that we were walking into the baptismal waters and Bill was giving his life to Jesus. Sometimes, hear me say this, sometimes it takes just a little bit of boldness to ask. And the Holy Spirit will use that boldness, and He will give that boldness to us if we ask Him for it. The resurrection power of Jesus is in us to help us to witness. And so, don't be telling me, "I can't do that." Yes, you can. Because His resurrection power is in you. We just have to accept that as the truth. We have to take it by faith that that power is in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you and in me. If we'll just trust Him and be willing to be His messenger. And one final point. The resurrection power of Jesus is able to help us face death. We do not have to fear death because the pioneer of our faith has gone before us and overcome death. His victory can be our victory. Let me read to you from Dr. David Jeremiah about this particular point. He says, when Jesus became the Son of Mary, He accepted flesh and blood to do what we could never do. He confronted Satan and defeated him. The Apostle John said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil by first experiencing and then overcoming death, physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. When Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered death, defeated the devil, and freed us from the fear of dying. That's why Jesus can reassure us with these powerful words, because I live, you also will live. And that's why Paul can say, oh death, where is your sting? Driving home from his wife's funeral, Donald Gray Barnhouse and his children were overcome with grief. As he sought some words of comfort for his kids, a moving van passed them and its shadow swept over the car. Dr. Barnhouse said, children, would you rather be run over by a truck or by its shadow? The shadow, of course, said one of the children. It's harmless. 2,000 years ago, said the father, the truck ran over the Lord Jesus in order that only its shadow might run over us. Wow. He continues on, for the Christian, death is just a shadow. Jesus promises every believer, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus' resurrection power makes death only a shadow. And you know it as well as I do, whatever shadow it is that you're standing in, that shadow can't hurt you. And so His resurrection power helps us not to be afraid of the shadow of death. It's simply a door that we walk through that will bring us into His glory. And oh, what glory that will be. Could I encourage you to be rooted deep into God's power? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your great, great, great power. And You have made that resurrection power available to us. And yes, we are weak. But if we put our trust in You, we can be strong. Help us, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen.